Thank you. And actually, Tom couldn't come, so I give this talk on behalf of him and the logistic group. I'm from Melbourne University. Well, it's the best university ranked in Australia. Melbourne is ranked the most livable city in the world. But I hope my quality of research work can translate into this. Look, my talk today focuses on the greenhouse gas, meaning nitrogen gases lost from feedlot to manure. This work is based on our previous studies, and our team have conducted the first direct measurement of greenhouse gases loss from cattle feedlot, intensive cattle feedlot. Australia has 25 million cattle in total, about 1 million from feedlot, but it's very intensive. We measured all the greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane, nitrogen oxide, and ammonia as well. So we used, because feedlot is a really big unit, so we used the open pass technology, open pass lasers for methane ammonia, actually produced, manufactured in Canada, and open pass FTIR, fully transferred infrared spectrometer, which we can measure all the greenhouse gases at the same time. Those gears measure the line average concentrations across the paddocks up to 300 or 500 meters. This was probably say less than 150 meters length. But then we used the atmospheric dissipation model to calculate the fluxes. What we found, in Australia, 20,000 cattle is the average size feedlot. What we measured, we were very surprised. The average ammonia emissions from this average size feedlot, every day ammonia loss is equivalent to 4 to 5 tons of urea fertilizer. That's how much nitrogen ammonia loss per day. It's per cattle per day is about 160 grams. It's three times an IPCC default estimate. So if we allow it 1%, ammonia has to deposit somehow, somewhere, convenient to N2O. The combined direct N2O emission and the indirect is almost 60% of the methane emission. That's very big, because when you have talking about 20,000 cattle feedlot, you would automatically think about it's a methane, but actually nitrogen losses is almost 60% of total methane. And then if you want less huge nutrient losses, because from previous talk, Rich talks to say, I calculated the solid manure, cattle manure, probably 1% of nitrogen. The fresh manure in Australian cattle lot is more than 20% of nitrogen. So that's a huge nutrient losses. If you use the fertilizer cost, that's how much per feedlot. And Australia introduced the new carbon farming initiative. So if you can reduce the greenhouse gas emission, you can claim carbon credit from government. This can translate to $400,000 carbon credit. So it is also sensitive to find how can we reduce such emissions. So the first attempt, we try to use the urease inhibitor, which we use pretty widely in agriculture. So with a urease inhibitor spray in the animal paint can reduce emissions. So again, we use this micrometeorological techniques. We use a suite of different techniques. Use some mass balance, integrated horizontal fluxes, and also the dispersion model, and also continuous chambers. So this is so we spray, collect manure from animal pens, spray in the rings. Reason we use the rings, so we are with sampling device in the center. It doesn't matter the wind direction. This measurement is always in the middle of the center. And then we have five heights. Every height has sampling points, and then a two-dimensional sonic anemometer, and we can calculate horizontal fluxes, and then when integrated, become the real fluxes. This is mass balance approach. And then we also use the dispersion model to calculate. So this is spraying urea disinfectant. And then the device will measure ammonia. We use a trace gas analyzer. It essentially is a chemiluminescence analyzer. Switch it. And of course, we use a 3D sonic anemometer, which is required for the dispersion model to calculate fluxes. This example, we use a commercial wind tracks for the dispersion model calculations. Well, now I'll show you some results. It's preliminary, but it's not very exciting. So this smooth line is ammonia losses. This with dot is ammonia moisture. It's accumulative nitrogen losses. Well, we are pleased to see there's some effectiveness. You know, this is a green one is no urease inhibitor. It's brown colorless one with urease inhibitor. So you can see, well, it's effective. But look at the unit. It's not that big. It's a huge ammonia losses. So it's effective, but limited. This is the first experiment. And then, losses or impact effect is real. Because also, we took a manure sample, measured soil pH, manure pH. You can see the pH actually with urease inhibitor is slightly higher than control without a urease inhibitor. So which means without a urease inhibitor, there are more ammonia losses. When there are more ammonia losses, more hydrogen ion leave behind, so soil become acidic. But still above 7, still pretty high. The second experiment we conducted, less convincing. Okay, this you see you can initially was effective, urease inhibitor, and then not later on. And we suppose that when the urease inhibitor effectiveness stopped or lost, and then as the urea become hydrolyzed and it will be lost again. So now we look at we did some manure wet chemistry sampling, look at the impact on the urea concentration. So you can see this two is a manure with urea inhibitor. One is on the surface, on the subsurface, and then that's a manure is a control. Basically, you can say without urea inhibitor, all the urea will quickly. With almost zero, no urea was detected. But even with inhibitor, the urea concentration drops very quickly from 1,000 ppm and to 200. But didn't translate. That's very distinct, effective. But didn't translate into ammonia. So in the ammonia, in the first few days, yes, with urea inhibitor, ammonium concentration is a bit lower. Because urea has been held as urea, and then ammonium is higher. So this difference is a 6400 or 6500 ppm, very similar to the difference here. So, but the problem is, you can see the difference looks pretty small. Is that this manure, even if before apply urease inhibitor, or the existing ammonium concentration is so high, it's around 1500 ppm. And then we remind you the pH is in the manure is a 7.5, 7.8, very high. So this ammonia is ready to be lost. So even the impact of urease inhibitor, even when it's effective, compared to the large quantity of ammonium already exists, is small. Which is similar to the second experiment. So you can say the ammonium is really high concentration of ammonium in the manure. It's 2,500-3,000 ppm. So this is just waiting there to be lost. So it's short talk, but conclusion is urease inhibitor is effective in inhibiting urea hydrolysis, but we know it doesn't last forever. It's only for a 2 weeks. And the impact on ammonia losses is limited. It's mainly because, as I said earlier, too much ammonia in the manure, the pH is high, and then this manure, the carbon nitrogen ratio is around 10 or less than 10. So with this ammonium sitting there, there's nowhere to go, to be lost. There's no active carbon to immobilize the ammonium. The pH, unless we have a adjustive, we adjustify pH, apply some acidic and amendments, or have huge amount of higher active carbon to can immobilize the ammonium. Otherwise, they will be lost. Even if you plant urease inhibitor, and then unless you plow into the soil immediately, otherwise, when urease inhibitor effectiveness is lost, it will be lost again. So let's bring to our and future study whether we can control from dietary. In Australia, the feedlot, like Chinese, like farmer in North China Plain, use too much nitrogen because they feed 20% to 25% excessive proteins because for maximize weight gain. So loose nitrogen protein will be lost. So we try to convince a feedlot operator to use less, they not, because for 20,000 cattle feedlot, it's a $100 million annual operation, big business. They don't want to take any risk to that, unless it's compensated. So this, but with Australian carbon tax, carbon farm initiative, we might have financial incentive to do that. Now we think of a biochar, I'm less convinced, but I think we will see a brown coal has potential. Because Australia brown, just passed the carbon tax law, the brown coal is dirty and inefficient coal. It's not going to be fashionable. So that's we might find alternative use for the brown coal, because brown coal is low pH is 3 or 4, high surface area, high active, high CEC, cation exchange capacity, and high carbon. So that's what we might do. But of course, second is that if you lock the ammonia and then apply an agricultural field, or the, what is the impact? Also, the huge ammonia losses from feedlot. What is where does it deposit, and what is the impact? So, I think this we have some preliminary incubation experiment. Look at lignite brown coal. It show promising. We're going to try that in the animal pens. Thank you.